Greg Morton has joined us on Sports Byline. He played for three different teams. He played for the Dallas Cowboys, and then after that it was the Giants, and then on to the Denver Broncos. Let's talk a little bit about your time down in Dallas. If I'm not mistaken, was it 1965 your first year?
Yes.
And so they had only been in professional football for 5 years at that time.
That's right.
What was the development of the franchise at that point when you joined them? What were their, you know, their trademarks?
Well, when I was drafted, I was drafted by the Cowboys in the first round, and then I also, Al Davis wanted me. That's the years when the AFL and the NFL were kind of competing against each other, which is really an interesting story anyhow. You've probably heard those many times, but they hide you out. And, but I decided that I just didn't want to play in Frank Eul Field here in Oakland, which was before the Coliseum. So I went to Dallas because I thought it was a great opportunity and good way to get away. And as part of my bonus, I received $150,000. My bonus was $150,000 plus salary for 3 years, which was good in those days. It's you know, not too much today, but part of the bonus was I got an XKE automobile. And my senior year at Cal, I'd keep walking down the street and see if that car was there, because I said, I'm getting that car. That was kind of my impetus to have a good season. So I got the car. After I got a Cal, drove it down to Dallas, got into Dallas, and it was about 97 degrees. I didn't have any air conditioning in the car. Never drove it again. I traded in for something that had an air conditioner. Here, my whole life is this XKE, and it was a tin can down there. It was just so hot. But getting with the team, the first year we went 7-7, and then from then on we started winning championships. And, well, we had some good players, and Bob Lilly and of course, Don Meredith and Don Perkins. We had a whole array of just phenomenal players. And then Coach Landry, and he just kept going. And Coach Landry coached every position, although he had assistants, but he wouldn't ever let them have the final say-so. But we just got better and better and got to the Super Bowl in it'd be 1971 or 70, so it's my fifth year. Don Meredith retired when he was 30 years old. I thought he was, you know, 50. But he and Landry didn't get along very well, and I was up at the Russian River driving with some friends, and I heard on the radio that Don Meredith retired and I was going to be the quarterback. That was very, very surprising. And I had some good years, and then Roger Staubach came. We went back and forth. What a great player, and, you know, All-Pro and Hall of Fame. So whatever I did with my teams, you know, I think I made them better. They certainly made me better, and I had a great time.
When you talk about Tom Landry, I've heard a lot of people say that he was not a real warm, fuzzy type of guy, and communication was not a strong point. And we know about North Dallas 40, certainly right. The book and everything. How close to the fact was that book?
It's Pete Gent was my roommate when he was writing that, and I didn't know he was writing it. But it's pretty accurate. Most of it, you know, some characters, there's three or four characters and one character in the movie and in the book. To tell you about Coach Landry, that sometimes he did not want to face the decisions that he wanted to make or had to make. And a lot of times, in fact, there was three times that Roger and I, it was going to depend what kind of preseasons we had. In those days, you had six preseason games and it was just like the whole season. And then he said, well, whoever has the best preseason will start. So 1 year I'd get it. And then if I didn't get it, I'd get a phone call about 10:30 at night, and he'd be on the other line. And he said, Craig, hi, Coach. And he says, you're home. I said, yes, I'm home. He thought it was always out. So
that's because his other players were right. Out.
They were out, too. So I said, can you drop by? Yeah, and I said, now? And he said, sure. So I went over to his house. Alicia, his wife, opened the door. Coach is in his study. So I went in his study and sat down. He said, Craig, he says, got a feeling. I'm going with Roger. Thanks for coming over. And that was it. So I said, that's it? He said, yeah, I just got this feeling. He says, you know, be ready. So that was it. And that happened two or three times. I think the last time I said, no, I don't need to come over.
Just tell me on the phone.
Tell me what your decision is.
One of the things that I was always surprised about is that he got such good performances, and a part of that had to be because of the talent, out of his players. Did he motivate by fear to some degree?
He just had the look. He never yelled. He just, You just knew that you wanted to play for him. He's one of the few people I've ever known in my lifetime that what he stood for and what he represented and what he was exactly who he was. He didn't vary from it. He was a Christian man that walked the line. He was just a phenomenal person that didn't vary one bit. He was just a tremendous man, just something that you have to admire and I look to all the time.
I would assume that knowing Roger Staubach's background with the military academy and everything, having been to Vietnam before he joined the Dallas right. Cowboys, that he was probably pretty comfortable with that because he had come out of that environment at Annapolis. Am I
yes.
correct in that assumption?
Well, he and Coach had their problems too. I probably got along with him better than Roger did. But everybody loved Coach Landry. When Roger came, I just thought it was amazing because I played against him in college. And we were in some all-star games together. Phenomenal talent, but just I think he was in the Navy for 3 years, and then he joined us. And phenomenal competitor. He always made things happen. So, and I love him to death. He's one of my best friends. He's one of the guys that I've always counted on. He's always been there. So all my teammates that I've been with, these great teams, have been really great friendships throughout your lifetime because you've been through so many things with them. And I guess that happens to anything, but I played on some really great teams that won a lot of championships, and maybe that makes you closer.
Tell me about Super Bowl V.
Super Bowl V was like, I don't know, a joke. everything that was like the follies of football happening. Tip passes, going through people's hands into John Mackey's hands, and he runs through everybody for 88 yards. Dwayne Thomas fumbles in the 1 foot line. As we're going in, probably to win the game, Dave Manders falls on it. But in those days, they did not unpile. They just did what the referees saw was what they were going to call. So the refs came up saying, it's Baltimore's ball. And, of course, Baltimore's pointing, it's their ball. And I ran up to the ref. I said, wait till they get off the ball. Wait till they get off the ball. And I was probably using bad language. He says, you should say another word. You're out of the game. Come on. And I said, come on. Make him get off the ball. And sure enough, Dave Manders stands up and hands him the ball, but they gave it to Baltimore. And then we're third, and I remember this very well. We're third and 14 or something, and I'm off of the sideline conferring with Coach Landry. I said, Coach, let's play for overtime. And he said, no, let's go with this play. And he wanted me to roll out to the right, and Danny Reeves was curling into the zone. So I threw it to Danny, and it went through his hands into Mike Curtis's hands. They called timeout, kicked a field goal, the game was over. Like 30 seconds, and we're standing there. Wait a minute. The game's over. We're just going to win this game, and it just ended like that. And it's something that I will never get over.
No, I can understand. It was one of the early Super Bowls. I covered Super Bowl IV was my first, and Super Bowl V was the second one. And I remember that game. It was down in Miami, was
right.
it not? Yeah. Tell me about Super Bowl XII when you were the quarterback of Denver.
Well, we had a great year, a miraculous year, because nobody expected Denver to do anything. We came in and we went to the Super Bowl, beat Oakland in the playoffs to go, and they're the defending champion. We just did not match up well against Dallas's front four. We usually played a 3-4 teams. We didn't play very many 4-3s. Dallas knew our weaknesses, and they blitzed the heck out of me and made me look like a fool. I just remember counting those tiles in the Superdome's ceiling. I couldn't get high enough because that's all I was on my back. So it was a very disappointing game. I played very, very badly. Our team played badly. Our defense played well, but our offense just gave the ball game away the whole game. And I always hate when Super Bowl comes around because that's the game that – if I'm watching Super Bowl highlights, please, I've never seen that game. I'm not going to ever watch the game. I can forget that game. Super Bowl V, I like to remember. Super Bowl XII, horrible. And I think it's the worst, they've always voted, or that the worst performance by a quarterback ever was my performance in Super Bowl XII. So it's not something that's really, I want to just relive.
We've got about 90 seconds before we have to break, but when you think of the hoopla around the Super Bowl today and compare it to those early days. I always tell
amazing.
The story. My first one was Super Bowl IV down in Miami, and they begged me to come to the commissioner's party and asked me how many tickets I wanted to buy at $25 a piece.
You're lucky to get in for $1,500.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
I mean, what was it like? What was the hoopla
well,
like?
Well, one of the great – I remember Super Bowl V again. We're in Miami, and we're kind of walking through the tunnel, and I look up, and there's two huge balloons. One is of Johnny Unitas, who was my hero. I mean, this here I'm playing against Johnny Unitas, and he was my hero a few, you know, number of years ago. And the other one is of me. And I'm looking at it, I said, this is a dream that a young kid could never possibly ever see. Of course, now it's just, that was, you know, that was Super Bowl V, so, you know, times 30 now, or whatever, what are we at, 40, Super Bowl 40-something?
Well, there's a lot of them,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But now, holy mackerel, the halftime entertainment, everything that goes on, it's hard to even know if there's a football game.
We're talking with Craig Morton, and when we come back on the other side, one of the things I want to get into with Craig is about the great rivalries that exist in the National Football League, because he played on two teams that had great rivalries. When he was with the Dallas Cowboys, I, as a young sportscaster in Washington, D.C., remember always those Thanksgiving Day games against the Washington Redskins. And, of course, if you think about the NFC East, because it had Dallas in it, it had Philadelphia, it had the New York Giants, they were all rivals in that NFC East. And then, of course, when he was over in the AFC West with the Denver Broncos, the great rivalry then was the Oakland Raiders. So we'll talk about that as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on Sports Byline.